Welcome to the scorching arena of valor and the crucible of courage. This is the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Here in the inferno of life's greatest challenges, heroes are shaped and legends are born. Every episode is a torchlight of wisdom, casting a glow on the paths walked by those who've braved the flames and emerged stronger. In this furnace of fortitude, we'll explore tales of resilience, bravery, and the unyielding human spirit. Each guest brings their own spark of insight, lighting up the darkness and guiding us through the smoke of adversity. With Fireman Rob at the helm, prepared to delve into conversations that smolder with significance and stories that kindle the soul. It's not just a podcast, it's a beacon for all who seek to rise from the ashes and glow with purpose. So stoke the fires of your curiosity and ready your heart for tales of triumph and transformation. The flames are roaring. The stage is ablaze. Welcome to the Forged in the Fires podcast. Let the journey begin.
All right, welcome back to Forged in the Fires podcast. I'm your host, Fireman Rob. Today's guest, you know, completely different time zone, but this is going to be an amazing story. He was a Royal Marine Commando at age 17. We're going to get into that one, but he also has an amazing story now, and he's helping people to thrive through fitness, through all sorts of different things that he's doing. Cyrus Rustam, thank you so much for joining me today. Oh, I lost you. Yeah, for some reason I can't hear your audio, Cyrus.
Hello.
Oh, now I can hear you. Yeah, for some, can you hear me now?
Yeah. I got you. You were on and off as well for some reason.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. I think we're good now. Is it good now? Can you still hear me?
Hello?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Yeah. You got me?
Yep, I've got you now.
For some reason, it keeps going in and out of audio.
Really?
Yeah, like you're on, and then you're off,
yeah,
and then
it doesn't stay solid.
Yeah, I was on my Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Usually, it's fine.
Yeah.
I have full signal, but I've just turned that. I've just taken myself off the Wi-Fi, and now I'm using the network.
Okay.
And so far, you've
it's
been
good to
solid.
Go. Yeah. Okay. I'll. Let me just mark the time here, and then I'll start it up again.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. All right, welcome back to Forged in the Fires podcast. I'm your host, Fireman Rob. Today's guest, this is going to be a great one. He's actually way over in Dubai, so time zones are a little different here. But he was actually a Royal Marine Commando. He's doing amazing things through fitness, through helping people see different perspectives in life. Cyrus Rustam, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Rob. Really appreciate it. And thank you for having me on the show.
I love this. You know, going through your story and going through what you've been through. I mean, I want to hit on all of it because it's really creating what you have today. But I want to start off with you at age 17 becoming a Royal Marine Commando. That's a lot of responsibility that you stepped into. What was the premise behind you wanting to do that?
That's actually a great question. I was in school around 12 years old, and my parents had freshly divorced. My mum had left my father and taken my two sisters and brother with her, and they moved to the opposite side of the country. Mm-hmm. And I'd lost contact with them, and it turns out didn't end up speaking to them again for around 20 years.
Wow.
So I'm with my dad, and we're living at home, and I was, let's just say, broken.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I was messing around, you know, not going to school, getting arrested, smoking weed, drinking alcohol. And, you know, looking back, I was obviously a broken, you know, teenager. Didn't think I was at the time, obviously. I was a teenager.
Right. Yeah.
And one day, my friend, my very, very good friend, who was a best friend of mine, and I actually spoke at his wedding as best man. He spoke at my wedding, you know, years later. Come into school with a photograph, and before he could say anything, I knew that that was my path out of this life and to escape and go on my adventure. It was a picture of his older brother, who was a Royal Marines commando.
Oh, wow.
And he had the commando green beret on. I didn't know anything about it. I'd never even heard of the Royal Marines before.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, I just saw the photo and I was like, that's what I want to be. Well, it turns out it's one of the longest, hardest military training courses in the world, from civilian to military. Uh-huh. And I applied. I started training obsessively from that young age, right? Because I had this like vision. And I went into. I applied to join at 15 and 9 months old.
Oh, really?
Because you had to be 15 and 9 months old to apply. So I walked in the recruitment office on the day, and the guy laughed at me and said, "Nah, man, you're too young. Just, you know, come back when you're older." And I said, no, I'm 15 and 9 months old, you know.
Yeah.
And they were reluctant to let me in, actually, because he said the pass rate for kids your age is very small. Most of you don't pass. So I want you to finish school, get a bit older, let your body develop a little bit more, and then come back. And I was just like, obviously determined, like, no way.
No.
Like, this is, you know, he didn't know what I'd been through. He didn't know my past story. He just saw this boy.
Yeah.
And he said, "You know what? I'm going to let you go on the potential Royal Marines course, which is a 3-day test to see if recruits are good enough to join training."
Oh, no kidding!
And I completely smashed it. You know, I was so fit, so determined. And he said, "Okay, fair enough. You proved me wrong. I'm going to give you your chance." And training at that young age wasn't easy. You know, the fitness was easy.
I can imagine. Was the mindset, the mental side, was that harder?
It's, yeah. Well, no, not for me, because I didn't have a plan B. I didn't have a plan B.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
I didn't have a comfortable life. I didn't have anything other than this. So I was in, it was do or die for me, to be honest. Like, I would tell myself regularly, I'm going to get my commando green beret, or I'm going to get seriously injured or die doing it, because there was no other option for me. I mean, just to put it into perspective, I mean, I tell people this so they could try and understand. If you'd have come up to me and offered me any amount of money, right?
Yeah.
Let's say $1 million. $1 million these days is not that much money, but back then, it would have been for me an inconceivable amount of money. You may as well have come up to me and said, "Do you want 10 billion? I wouldn't have been able to wrap my head around $1 million. If you'd have come up to me and said, "Here's $1 million, just go home, buy a house, settle down." No, absolutely not. It was do or die. And it wasn't easy. I mean, I got injured 3 times. I failed the commando test. There's 4 famous tests at the end of training.
Okay.
I failed them 3 times. I had an infection in my leg because I was so run down. You know, you're not getting enough sleep. You're not eating enough. You're just getting hammered every day.
No, every day.
And my body was very run down, and I got injured. I had this massive, it was a big infection in my leg, actually. And it looked like the veins in my right leg were like bright red. It was crazy.
Oh,
and on the third time of trying the test, the 30-miler, which is a 30-mile march across mountainous terrain with all your kit and rifle and everything, my body collapsed at mile 22, and that was my third try. And they took me back into a troop. The reason why I had this infection, I wouldn't go to the medical center about it because I didn't want them to take me out of training. You know, I thought, oh, if they see it, they're gonna, yeah. So I'm like, nah, I'm just gonna hide it, and I'm gonna get through it. not
the greatest of ideas, right?
Not my best idea. So you know, the long story short, I got through it in the end, but it gave me the lesson of, like, you know what, when you don't set a plan B, and you just set your mind to something, and you don't get, and you stay patient with it, and you keep working at it daily, you'll achieve anything you want. Basically, you just, I feel like people nowadays have too many plan Bs, you know, and then when plan A gets a little bit hard, they say, "Oh, but plan B's there. That I could just slide into that, and it's still an okay goal." No, right. It's not your plan B, right? Yeah, exactly.
What did you see, like, because I can only imagine what you went through and the amount of resilience, the amount of different aspects that at the time when you were that age, you didn't really correlate to, well, I can utilize this in my later life. Were there some lessons that you learned like later in life that when you reflected on that experience that really kind of set you on a path to success?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely, yeah. You know, you go through things that are, and here's another thing I don't think people do enough of. People don't do hard things enough.
Yes.
Right?
It's scary, right?
we're actually programmed to seek out comfort. So it's not like it's anyone's fault. Like, as humans in general, right, we build houses and we have central heating and AC and clothes and food and cars and, you know, our whole society's great. I'm not saying, you know, that, but on a certain level, I do believe you have to expose yourself to hard things. Like, you know, it could be go for an ice bath or do a 10-mile run, or just do, like, if you're not used to it, just do something out of your comfort zone. And it does build mental resilience. And, you know, going back to your question, it's like, when I go through some hard things, and I always think back to my time in the military, I'm like, no, this isn't hard. You know?
Yeah, it puts in perspective, right?
Exactly. Perspective is actually one of the biggest things I got from the military, because I went to Afghanistan in 2006, mm-hmm. and was involved in an accident where essentially... The short of it is I got trapped between two trucks, and the trucks had armor on them, and the armor started where my neck was and went up. So my head actually took the brunt of the force, and I didn't know it at the time, but I broke my jaw in three places. I'd smashed the whole right side of my face, and I cracked my skull all over. I'd basically squashed my head. Jeez. And yeah. And you know, first of all, like, there's a different level of clarity when your life is about to end. And by all means, if they'd have left me on the desert floor, maybe I would have lasted an hour. You know, there was blood dripping from my eyes, ears, nose, mouth. I couldn't talk, although I could make noises. I just couldn't use my mouth properly because my jaw was all messed up. And I couldn't see properly. I couldn't hear properly. Luckily, I was close to the camp, you know, just on the edge, on the airbase there. So the hospital come pick me up,
right,
and took me to the thing. They flew me to Oman, and not to drag this on too much. Just there was two operations. There was intensive care for 2 weeks, keeping me alive. I was in and out of a coma.
Jeez.
Eventually, they took me to a hospital to recover. They didn't bring my next of kin, which was my father, out to me, because they initially contacted him when I was in a coma, but when I woke up out of it the first time, they said, you know what, he's not going to die immediately, we don't need to fly you out here. I spent, after 2 weeks,
that's a crazy way of putting it.
Yeah, that's actually the same, that's what they said. But you know what, I'm glad that my dad didn't fly out to see me, because I got this lesson, right? So
yeah,
I had these operations. I couldn't see properly, still couldn't hear properly. I had spinal fluid dripping out my nose when I tilted forward. It would drip into my neck when I put my head back. And I was feeling sorry for myself, you know, as anyone probably would. And I had an ability before that, before the accident, I had an ability to see through hard times and know that, okay, this is going to end at some point. So why be miserable about it? You know, being miserable about it's not going to help the situation. And in the Marines, actually going through training, even at such a young age, they awarded me for that ability. I got this Diamond Award, which is given to the top 3 or 4 recruits out of 60 men. And me as a 17-year-old got one. Now, wow. I wasn't better than anyone. Don't get me wrong. Like I didn't have any leadership ability or the other things that we give it out for. They give it me quite simply because I kept my head high during the hardest of times, right? The little amount of sleep, the no food, cold, wet, tired, all the rest of it. I kept my head up. But here in hospital, I can't tell you, Rob, how messed up my head was. It was massive. And it was completely black, you know, bruised. Yeah. And I wasn't looking like a human, basically. My head was just blown up and I couldn't see and hear properly. But one day, when they moved me to the other hospital, there was one other guy in the room with me, and he was clearly disabled, right? He was making noises. He couldn't go to the bathroom. He couldn't eat. He couldn't control his hands or couldn't walk. He was making noises. He was clearly distressed, and he was trying to bite his arms every day, right? Jeez. So, yeah, this elderly gentleman would come into the hospital, and he would come to my bed and ask me how I was doing. And I had this tubes. The tubes were out at that point, sorry. My jaw was wired shut. I couldn't speak, but he would ask me, how are you? You know, are you okay? And then he would go over to this other gentleman's bed, and he would stay with this other guy for about an hour, and then he would leave. Well, after about a week of this, I asked the nurse, well, I didn't ask the nurse, so I couldn't talk, but I wrote on a piece of paper, what's the story with the guy? By the way, this older gentleman was very pleasant. Very happy guy. He'd come and ask me how I was. Very kind, gentle. She said, the guy that's injured he was involved in an accident a few months back. He was driving a car with his mum and sister. And unfortunately, his mum and sister didn't make it. He's disabled for life. And he obviously doesn't have any control of his body. However, his mind is fine. He can still think straight. And the reason why he keeps trying to bite himself is he's trying to end his life. He feels guilty about killing his mum and his sister. And the old man that visits him every day is his dad.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. And I was just like, what?
Wow.
I felt, to be honest, the first emotion that I felt was, I was like, how dare I feel bad about my scratch that I've got on my face, you know, compared to this guy. So it gave me the ability to put things into perspective.
Yeah.
And I immediately got out of my funk and I told myself, no, you're going to get through this. And then the incident, by the way, was running through my mind like 24/7. It was like running through my mind. And this perspective shift that these two gentlemen had given me inside the hospital had allowed me to kind of step outside my body almost and like take myself out of my own head literally and just observe the accident again as it was running through my mind, but not as a victim. Okay. And what I realized is that at the time it was still very raw in my mind, like everything, that every moment, every inch that happened of the accident was played through thousands of times. But since hearing about this poor gentleman in the hospital with me, I realized I went through it in my mind and I realized I was lying on the desert floor, pretty much about to die. I was squeezing the hands of my friends that had gathered around me and I was angry and I was screaming. And I was frustrated and I was screaming, not because I was in pain. I was in zero pain. I couldn't feel anything. It was all numb. I was screaming because I'd not lived a life. I was regretful. And I realized going through it again, I was like, oh, that's the lesson. I'm going to die. When I do die, if I don't live life on my terms and chase my dreams and do what I want to do, I'm going to feel that feeling again. Because I was 21 years old. I was about to die. And I was angry. I was upset. I was frustrated. Yeah. And I was like, I haven't lived. I haven't done anything. So the lesson I got from it all was, you're going to die again. You're going to die again. I say again because I almost died. But you're going to be on your deathbed again, facing immediate death. When that happens, like when I was lying on the desert floor, you're going to get extreme clarity. Yeah. This is it. Life over. How did you do? And I don't want to feel like that again. I don't want to feel regretful, sad, angry, frustrated that I haven't lived life. So that kind of guides me a little bit today, you know?
I can imagine a lot of people feel that same way. But like, how do you translate when you're coaching people or when you talk to people that for them to find that? Because I'm guessing a lot of people are feeling that way, but they don't have that clarity moment like you had, you know, and I don't think a lot of people want to have that clarity moment because that'd be hard to go through. But yeah. How do you have them find that ability to go, gosh, I'm sitting in an empty life. How do I keep moving forward?
Yeah. Well, I think first it's very important for people to spend some time actually thinking about what kind of life they want to live.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because so it's like, because a lot of people are chasing, everyone's heard of the multimillionaire who's unhappy with life, right?
Right.
That scenario. People work doing stuff that they hate to build up piles of money, which they really didn't need, to figure out years down the line that it was a waste of life because really they didn't need that much money. Their true happiness and passion lies in doing something else.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to start with a blank slate and just be like, oh, what do I actually want to do every day? Like essentially when I wake up, what activities do I want to do? What do I enjoy? And then build a life around that. Now, I'm not saying I'm not saying it's possible financially to build a life around anything. I don't know if it is or if it isn't. I'm not the one to say that. But it's just defining, first of all, what a good life is for you as an individual, and then working forward from there. And some of the time it might not be adding things or going for new things. It might be pulling back on a few things, letting go of some things, simplifying your life. It can be different things for different people, you know?
Oh, that totally makes sense. And in your life, I want to go kind of step forward into today, you know, asking your wife to marry you. You said that was one of the greatest accomplishments, as well as having a son. Tell me about this life that you're living now that you're appreciative of, that you are proud of. And if that moment comes, that clarity again, that from what it sounds like, you will be good with how you're living now.
Yeah, I am good with how I'm living now. But I also have a curse.
Uh-oh.
I was talking to someone about this earlier, actually. So it's like, I don't know if it's a curse or a blessing or if it's both, but I'll give you an example. Like there was, before I had my current business, I was working as a coach, like a personal trainer.
Yeah.
I was earning okay money by any means. Right.
Right.
Probably wasn't going to become a multimillionaire, but I was doing like more than taking care of my family, living well. And I was miserable. And I was completely miserable. And like my work-life balance, if you want to call it that, was very good, right?
Yeah.
I'd work maybe 5 hours a day, and then I'd have the rest of the day to do what I want and to enjoy activities and be with my wife. And I was miserable because I wasn't building something. And I kept thinking to myself, you can do better than this, Cyrus. So
it's interesting.
That kind of that aspect has always been with me as well. Like now when I'm a little bit old, like I'm 38, so I have more confidence now. I've achieved some success in life financially, obviously have my wife and my son and everything. Yet that curse stays with me.
That makes sense though. That makes sense though, that you have that feeling of wanting to always do, like when you get in that moment of like, not even darkness, but you get in that moment where you feel like you're being complacent.
Yeah.
Do you go back to that moment of like, oh, you know, I'm not going to be happy with myself, or I'm not going to be proud. What does that moment look like for you?
Yes, it's exactly what you said. It's I realized that no, I've lived that life. You know, the quieter, simpler, you know, kind of, I don't want to call it average life, but I've done that before, and I was severely unhappy. So This is the route you're supposed to go on. You're supposed to do bigger and better things. So what did one of my friends say to me? Put your big boy boots on and get it done. That's what he said.
And yeah. That resonates with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so true.
And it's hard. You know, I do coach a lot of people, and I try and advise people and tell my life story to hopefully inspire them and to do stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm just another guy who's trying to get through life just like you. I have my struggles. I have my mindset moments, you know, just like everyone else.
Yeah. But the nice thing is that you have that perspective. Now, how valuable is it to have a support network for yourself to be able to kind of bounce off those ideas? Because I can only assume that your perspective of what is success and what is when you're being valuable to yourself, that can be skewed. Mm. How valuable is it to have somebody else to bounce that off of?
Massive. I believe environment is extremely important. Extremely important. For myself particularly, I get influenced by people big time.
Okay.
You know, and I've found through experience that I need to put myself to success.
Yeah.
So whether it's going on seminars and rubbing shoulders with people, whether it's reading books, listening to podcasts, spending time with my business partner, who's an extremely successful guy, just being around the guy, it kind of like, you know, you get this like different energy from him, and he's the kind of, he's a doer, right?
Yeah.
No matter how much money he makes, he'll always work extremely hard and make lots of money. That's just who he is. I don't know. It's wired in him somehow. Yeah. And being around him, you're just like, wow, this guy is doing so much. It just causes you to level up, you know, just being around him. He doesn't tell you to do anything. He just bees him, and you're just like, oh my God, I need to do more. So, environment for me is extremely important. And it's one of the reasons why I moved. I was living in Thailand. I moved from Thailand to Dubai 11 years ago because I knew Dubai was an entrepreneurial city.
Right.
And that I was going to be in that environment that was inspiring and was, you know, would get me in the mood almost, if you want to say it like that.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. That totally makes sense. Make sure you go to on Instagram. You got Coach Cyrus. And then also he's got a great YouTube page with Coach Cyrus. You know, I greatly appreciate you opening up because it's so valuable to have an individual like yourself who's went through things to be able to really elaborate on it for individuals, because I think everybody goes through all these different challenges and they go, well, mine's not like his or mine's not like hers. But the way that you put it, I really appreciate you opening up on that. But I always end my podcast the same way with three different questions. Are you ready, Cyrus?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Are you sure?
I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
Right. I think, all right. If you could, I like this one because it's going to be interesting. If you could go back to your 18-year-old self and give yourself one piece of advice, what would that be?
Don't be scared.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. With that story, it's exactly right.
don't be scared. Yeah. I've hesitated sometimes in life. I haven't gone for things because I've had fear around it. I've been scared of what people will think of me. I've been scared of that I won't complete it and I'll look like a failure. You know what? Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
That is the best way to look at it. It's almost freeing in that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's got their own stuff they're focusing on. You just do you.
Yeah, you do you. I love that. All right, here. Well, it leads me into that second one is if you could give people two habits to incorporate into their daily life to help them continue to push through challenges, to continue to live forward, what would those two things be?
Wow, that's a fantastic question. Fantastic question. Number one would always be exercise first.
Yes.
If you can build the habit of exercising every day, it's going to change your mindset. It's going to give you confidence. It's going to build discipline, consistency. It's going to make you feel amazing. You're going to release endorphins after the exercise. You're going to talk to people differently. It's going to change your life if you can exercise regularly. So that would be the first habit.
The second
habit I would give people is what we've already touched on, and it's listen, read, watch, get yourself around people regularly that inspire you, right? So it might be reading a book every day or listening to a podcast like your own. Just follow, read, and try and rub shoulders with as many successful, driven people as possible, because it will rub off on you and affect your life.
Oh, yeah, people better listen to those two. Those are great ones. This last one's fun. If you could have coffee at a firehouse table, so in other words, any question you can ask, it's going to be answered, with three people, they can be deceased or alive, who would they be?
Oh, wow.
And there comes the right hook.
Yeah, three people.
Three people.
Deceased or alive.
Yep.
Okay. Wow, I would speak to somebody that was about to die, like I was. But somebody that's very old and have lived a full life. And I believe there's a book somewhere that goes into different interviews with people about this. I don't know the book's name. I can't remember the author. And I would just ask the person. You've lived a full life. You've had a family. You've done it all.
Yeah.
What do you regret? Like, what's your advice for me? Like, what do I need to change in order to not feel what you're feeling right now? Because I'm sure, as much as we try and live lives to the fullest and not live with regret, we're going to have regrets, right? It's just, it's a thing. So knowing how bad it feels to be on your knocking on death's door and feeling that regret.
Yeah.
I would want to speak to someone that's actually lived a full life, and try and find out what they regret. And there is, like I said, there is a book out there. This has got me completely thinking about all of this again, because
I love that though. That's a huge thing.
No, for sure. I'm going to actually, after this podcast, I'm going to seek out this book because I know it's out there. I've seen it.
You're going to have to send me that in an email.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one. The other two. Oh, wow. This is.
The first one was so good. I want to see what the next two are.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to meet Richard Branson.
Yeah.
I feel like he's such a inspirational leader, and it seems like he's had, or not seems, he has had tremendous success in business, right? He's a multi-billionaire. He's got something like, thousands of companies and employees, but he still seems to live a life where he plays tennis and he travels and he...
Exactly.
At least to what I can see, he has a family and he spends time with them. And I heard a story once where when he's sending emails to people, he has two assistants sit next to him and he tells them what to write. So he's kind of like built his life in a way that he's this massive business icon, yet he's got his feet on the ground, spends time with his family, plays tennis. So I'd love to speak to him and ask him advice and questions on life and business. That would definitely be my second choice.
Man, you're killing it.
And my third one. Oh, yeah. This is one, actually. Okay. This would be interesting. I'd want to go up my family tree, and I don't know who this person is, by the way.
Yeah.
I would just want to go up my family tree and find someone that was similar to me, you know, like, yep. and ask some questions, knowing that I'm their bloodline, you know, generations down, and ask them questions, you know, knowing that they would give me the answers. They would give me honest answers, knowing that I was their great, 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 great grandson or whatever. I would love to speak to someone up in my bloodline, because honestly, from my grandparents, like, yeah. It stops. I don't know who's before that, you know.
That's awesome! Wow, you killed that. You knocked that one out of the park. I have to say. That was good. That was good. I love it. Make sure you go to Coach Cyrus both on YouTube and on Instagram. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Rob. Really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Thanks for listening and supporting the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Remember, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast. And please share this episode with a friend or family member. To find out more about Fireman Rob, or if you have a question, go to www.firemanrob.com. Until next time, live your life forged in the fires.